Book of Matthew, we are in our series called Living Courageously. And what does that mean? Well, based on the testimony of those in Hebrews chapter 11, the great halls of faith, people lived their faith out loud. They lived their faith in a way that everyone could see that it was God, not them. We saw this several weeks ago in our first series on this, on the fact that we can live courageously, that the people in Hebrews chapter 11 put God first. They gave him that place of preeminence. A very familiar portion of scripture is Matthew 6, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It also speaks about it in Colossians, giving God Christ the preeminence, or the first place, that exalted position in your life. Number two, recognizing that God owns everything. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. He owns everything. God is not just the creator. He is the owner. He's the sustainer of everything, earth and its produce, the world and its inhabitants, which means in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 that he owns me. Right? What? Know ye not that you're bought with a price? Right? Therefore glorify God in your body, which is God's, and your spirit, which is God's. You are not an accident. Do you know that? Do you realize that? We all had to go to school. We all learned the theory of evolution. We all learned that on how that everything just came together just right, and boom, here we all are. Well, the Bible says you're not an accident. God knows you. God knows where you are. God knows why. And God made you for a reason. He made you for a purpose. You were made for eternity. This life is just a temporary assignment. We're all just pilgrims passing through, aliens, and we are citizens of the commonwealth of God. That's what the Bible says. We are citizens in heaven. And everything, we saw this last week, everything was created for God's pleasure because he wanted it, and it was created for his purpose. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 25, the Bible says in Romans 11, for of him, that's God, and through him, that's God, and to him, that's God. So for of God and through God and to God are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, that word unto means purpose, unto good works, unto. You were made for more than what this world is offering you. You're made for more than just to consume resources and amass resources. You were made for more. You know, you think your portfolio is secure. Let me tell you, it's not. All right? I've had my stock portfolio go up, go down, and I've had it stolen. And people are in jail today for having stolen it. Don't think anything you got is going to stay the same. Remember the housing bubble when everybody's house was worth less than what you owed on and the government wanted to tax you? You know, for this kind of stuff. I'm like, hey, nothing in this life is going to go beyond this life or exist beyond this life except the soul of mankind. That's why Jesus came. We'll look at that in just a minute as well. But you were created on purpose. And there is not just a general purpose, although that's true. We're going to live our life courageously, live our faith courageously. We have to embrace that purpose. But while we're doing the purpose, spoiler alert, while you're living and doing the purpose God has created you for, he will reveal to you an assignment that he has for you. He has an assignment with just your name on it. So if you look at Matthew chapter 25, I think this is a great teaching opportunity here that Jesus utilized in Matthew chapter 25. Now, he also, a few days later, after using Matthew 25, a few days later on the Mount of Olives, he gives a similar parable. Basically, it's almost identical word for word. It's a little different, but it's basically teaching the same thing in Luke 19. But here in Matthew chapter 25, which is our custom, I'll read the even numbers and you'll read the odds. So everybody needs a Bible. Don't take my word for it. Check the Bible. Look what it says in Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now watch what happens. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawn. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Some days I just can't quite get the words out. But the truth is, God is trying to teach us something here that has to do with our purpose. We have a purpose. Jesus said it is the Lord's will that we bear much fruit. Now, remember, we talked about this several weeks ago in the series called Why I Know. Why I Know I'm Going to Heaven and I Can't Lose It. One of the points was, it was never about me. I want you to think about this for a second. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. You know, I didn't merit anything. You know, it wasn't like God walked up to the edge of heaven and bumped Gabriel and goes, ooh, I got to have that one. You know, when God saved me, he didn't get a bargain. Okay, he got took. Do you understand that it was because God loved me first, before I ever knew him, he sent Christ to die for me. And that's how salvation is. Salvation is not something you do. It's something God does to you because of what God did for you. It's because he loved you. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying? What was it he prayed? Lord, Father, if there be any other way. Jesus said, I've come to do my Father's will. I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do my Father's. So whose idea was the suffering? Whose idea was the sacrifice? It was the Father's. Because he loved us. When we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8 says, God loved us. And the fact that he had a purpose in mind for you. I think sometimes we forget that our value is not in our portfolio. Our value and our worth is not in our possessions. Our value and our worth is not necessarily in our relationships with the people around us. And I'm somebody because they think I'm somebody. I'm somebody because of the one who owns me and created me and bought me thinks I'm somebody. Because God loves me. That's where my identity is. That's where my value is. That's my worth is. I'm worthless except for the fact that God loves me. I didn't earn salvation. I didn't work for it. I didn't deserve it. Any more than the thief on the cross or Nicodemus or Matthew the publican or anybody else. But God had a purpose. Now, Jesus is our example. He embodied this. And listen, if we will embrace God's purpose for us, then he will reveal to us the specific assignment he has for us as individuals. But as I said, Christ is our example. Take your Bible. Go to John 6. John 6. John chapter 6. This is the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just before you get to the book of Acts, you'll find John 6. Look what the Bible says in verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came here because this is what God wanted. This is what the Father wanted. You know, it's interesting. When Joshua was getting ready to attack Jericho, he meets the Lord of hosts, the captain of God's hosts. And he goes, are you with us or are you with them? He says, neither, but I'm here to do the will of God. Which meant if God tells me to cut your head off, I'm gonna. If God says for me to cut their heads off, I'm gonna. I'm not. God's the Father is sovereign. He has a plan for all of us. Verse 40. I love verse 40. It says here, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. God has a purpose. God has a plan. You're not here by accident. You're not misplaced. Many of you have moved recently. Did you ever lose things in the move? You realize we do. We lose things in the move. Sometimes you get the joy of rediscovering them later. Like somebody left a whole thing of cottage cheese in the back of the car during the move, and it stayed there for several days only to be crushed later. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right, you know, you think about these things. And you think sometimes we moved here, and I don't know that God, because I always laugh. Somebody said, well, we're moving to New Mexico. And I'll say, is God in New Mexico this time of year? I mean, right? I mean, is God in Virginia this time of year? God has not misplaced you. God knows right where you are. God hasn't lost track of you. He's got better GPS, trust me, than anybody. God's positioning system is a whole lot better than ours. He hasn't lost you. He has a purpose for you. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we were his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto. There was a plan. There was a purpose ahead of time. Unto good works that you was foreordained. That means he knew from eternity past, looking through his foreknowledge, knew that you would exist, that you would trust Christ, and he had a purpose for you to fulfill. So, what is our purpose? Well, take your Bible, go to 1 Peter. We're going to keep your hand there in Matthew 25. We're coming back. But look at 1 Peter 4. Now, 1 Peter's all the way in the back of the book, after the book of Hebrews, but before you get to Revelation. Look at 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Now, look what it says here in verse 10. As every man hath received the gift. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Amen. Say amen. And that means you've received the gift of grace. Remember that? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You have received the supernatural enabling, the salvation and forgiveness, and now the enabling of God. Look at this. It says, as every one of you hath received the gift, even so. Just like you got it, and you didn't earn it, and you didn't build it for yourself, just like you received it from God, even so minister, use it. The same thing, that same gifts that God gave you, one to another, as good stewards of the manifold wisdom of God. Do you know what a steward is? Now, I'm not talking about a steward or a stewardess on a plane, or a boat, or a train. I'm talking about a steward. In the Bible, the word steward meant somebody who was managing the property and affairs for the benefit of the owner of the property. A steward didn't own the stuff he was dealing with. He was just managing the stuff that was put into his care for the benefit of the owner, not for the benefit of himself. We are the stewards of God. We have received the manifold grace of God, and we're to minister using them. Now, we're to faithfully serve. So that means we are to serve God, not for our benefit, but for his benefit, for the kingdom of God and his glory. In 1 Corinthians, there's a good chapter. Why don't you turn over there? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 7, 2 Corinthians. That's good preaching, but let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. There's a sermon in that one too. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? What makes you think you're any different than anybody else? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What is it that you think you have that you just, because you're so awesome, you got? That wasn't given to you. You know, the ability to think, the ability to create, the ability to work, the ability to walk, the ability to speak and to hear and to see, all of these things were given to us by God. The ability to discern, the ability to judge between right and wrong, the ability to choose to do right versus wrong. All of these things were given to us by God. They're not something you realize nobody had to train your kid to do wrong? They come to you naturally that way. Any good that they're going to do, you have to train into them. Yeah, we learned that today in Sunday school. So when you think about it, what is it that you have that God didn't give you that God can't take away? I want you to think about it now. We all know somebody who can't walk. We all know somebody who can't talk. We all know somebody who can't do things. We all know somebody. These are abilities God gave us that were his to give, and now they're his to receive a blessing from, right? We're just stewards of them. Okay, now look at it. It says here in 1 Corinthians 4, 7, "For what maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" How is it that we act like this stuff's all of ours and we'll do with it as we please because we're just so awesome? Look at verses 1 and 2 of this same chapter. The Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards," people who manage the stuff of God for God's benefit, "and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful." We are to be obedient in our stewardship. God gave us gifts and talents, and we're to use them. We're to use them for his glory. So why did God entrust them to us? Well, back in Matthew chapter number 25, the Bible reads in verse number 14, For the kingdom of heaven is as," it's like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them goods. Now look at verse 19. The Bible says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckon with them." Do you realize Jesus is going to come back and there's going to be a full accounting of what we did with our life? It's going to be a full accounting. Now, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you can't lose it. This is as close to hell as you'll ever get. Isn't that great? John 6, 37 says that you cannot give God a reason that he would throw you away. "For all that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." No wise means you can't give him a reason. And in John 10, it says that "all that have come to me are in my Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand." Okay, so it's as close as hell as you'll ever get. But do you understand, now that his life is living through us because we're saved, he's the master. He's the Lord of the vineyard. He will come and we will give an account. We'll answer. Now, you can't lose your salvation, but you're definitely going to answer for what we did with what God gave us. What did we do with it? You know, in Matthew 24, 42, it says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come." Now, back in Matthew 25, the master distributes his assets, and he expects a return. Now, in Matthew 25 and verse 15, it says, "Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability." What that means is your ability to serve. Each of us has a different ability, a different capacity. We all are different. But what's beautiful about this is there's no reason to be jealous. I mean, I'd love to be able to sing like Miss Mix. I'd love to be able to play the guitar as well as Miss Grace. I'd love to be able to do some of the things you folks know how to do. But that's not what the gifting God gave me. I hate details. We have some people in this church that are so gifted at details and data. Man, I get a headache just thinking about it. But they love it, and that's their gift. But you know, being jealous is foolish because we all get the same reward if we're faithful. Take your Bible and look at this now. In Matthew 25, I'm not making this up now. He said, "Then he that received," verse 16, "went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And like, okay, you'll go down a little farther. He said in verse 20, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." Now look at verse 21. "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant." This is why as parents we should not praise talent. Do you understand? Talent will only take you so far in this life. No human being can climb above the level of their own character. So that's why you praise character. God is not praising this man's talent. He said, "You're a good and faithful servant." Faithfulness is a character quality, just like obedience and truthfulness and sincerity and hospitality and judgment and love and forgiveness. These are all character qualities. So you should praise your kids. This is a side note, it's all free. In a side note, you ought to tell them, hey, good way to work hard. Way to stick to it. way to stay at it till it got done. Well, it took me all day, but you stayed at it. Praise the Lord. Because trust me, if they'll learn to stay at something, they will succeed. They will succeed. Look at this, verse 21. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I could trust you, because life is a trust. It's a test and a trust. Look at this. Over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well, then in verse 22, he that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest me two talents. Behold, I've gained two other talents beside them. Now, look what happened in verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's verbatim. You know, there was a time in my life when I was envious of pastors who pastored 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. I have a buddy out in California, pastors 5,000 people. And I used to be like, man, I'm so great. Do you realize that when I get to heaven, I get the same reward he does? It was about faithfulness. You know, I'm a different tool in God's toolbox. I love tools. Do you love tools? Love tools. They're shiny, right? I love them. I think they're wonderful. I love tools. And each tool has a specific job. But when you use a specific tool for something outside of its intended purpose, it breaks, gets bent. It messes up the material you're working in. I'm a specific tool in the toolbox. My buddy Paul out west, he's a different tool. He's a different instrument in God's hands with a different capacity, but we get the same reward. See, it's never been about equal production. It's about equal faithfulness and sacrifice. It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. See, and brothers and sisters, God has given us the purpose of bearing fruit for him. And to do that, he empowered us when he saved us by giving us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts were to be used to profit his kingdom, not ours. So don't focus on, oh, I wish I was like this, or I wish I... Forget that. Focus on what God gave you and be faithful. Play to your strengths. If that's what we say in the business world. Play to your strengths. You know, you're on the right bus. You may not be in the right seat on the bus, but let's get you in the right seat and your gifts and talents will go take you far. The good news is, our capacities can increase. I mean, we can get stronger at using our abilities, that's for sure. Ecclesiastes 10:10, the Bible says, if the edge be dull, if thou not, well, let's look at it. Ecclesiastes 10:10, I was trying to quote it, but my mind's a jumble. Ecclesiastes 10:10, this is Solomon. Listen to what he writes here in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. The Bible says, if the iron be blunt, that's where you get the idea that you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. They got it from the Bible. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, that's what you would do. You would wet it and put it on a grinding stone to make it sharp. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. All right, so I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can swing harder. I can swing harder. That's the way I look at it. And you can sharpen the saw. You can sharpen the axe. You can read books. You can go to seminars. You can learn. You can be discipled to walk with God and to live filled with the Spirit, being impressed by the Spirit and obeying the Spirit. That's what walking in the Spirit is moment by moment. You've confessed known sin. You've given yourself to the Holy Spirit this morning. And as you step with the Holy Spirit, you follow his promptings. Man, you're never more powerful for the work of God than that. The thing is, do you know that your life was given to you for a purpose? See, the guy who had five talents, he got busy. And he used his ability, the ability God gave him. With two talents, he just got busy and used what God gave him. The problem is, at the day of reckoning, the guy who only had one, he didn't use it for his glory. He didn't use it for the Lord's glory. He didn't use it for the master's good. He hid it. Look what it says here in Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 24. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. Okay, what is he saying? He's defaming the master. He's calling God unfair. I knew thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast sown, not sown, and gathering where thou hast strawed. Wait a minute. You're also unfair. I mean, because You didn't put any work into this. You didn't put any work in through this. You ever have your teenager look you in the eye and say, well, where's the rest of it? Well, there's a tent in the shed. You can sleep outside. Well, that's abuse. I forgot whose name's on the mortgage again. I'm sorry. You know, this ain't a rest home. You eat here, you sleep here, I buy you clothes, I buy you food, I make sure you're healthy and you have health insurance and your teeth are straight, and I've provided all these things. You can mow the yard. Right? You can mow the yard. Right? And that phone is only, okay, don't get me started, okay? Why do I give you a phone? So I can take it away and train you with it. That's why. This is a bell around their neck. That's why they have it. I know where they are at all times. Anyway, I digress. You know, he was defaming his master, and he was inferring that his master was cruel. Look at verse 25. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy town near. Lo, their house there hast thou that is thine. You're unfair, Lord. You're unfair, and you're cruel. Really? You think God's unfair and cruel? Do you know there's one thing that we deserve? Just one. What is it? Now think about it. Not just, you guys are smart and intelligent people. What is the one thing we all deserve? And that's to die and go to hell. Because we're sinners, all of us, every last one of us, the best of us. Do you realize on your best day, when you feel the most Christian-y, you're still a sinner? Did you know that? We're all sinners. The Bible has said that God hath made us all one blood. There are no divisions. We're all the same. Every human being, wherever we come from, no matter what we look like, no matter who our ancestors were, we're all the same. In God's eyes, we're all the same. We're all one blood. We're all sinners. And God came to save them all. So God is not unfair. God is not cruel. God is gracious. Now, there's two kinds of people when they realize that God has a purpose for them, because God has a purpose for every one of us. There's two kinds of responses. There's the one that gives the Jesus response. Thy will be done. Not mine, but thy will be done. That's the Gethsemane answer. Do you remember what Jesus prayed at Gethsemane? I mean, we have this beautiful rendition here of Jesus knocking at the door out of Book of Revelation. But usually, if you're like me, you were raised in a house that had that on one side of the dining room table, and on the other side was Jesus praying with his hands on the rock. Do you remember that picture? Is that just at your grandma's house? I'm that old? Okay. Well, anyhow, do you know what that depicts? That's Jesus praying the night he was arrested. What did Jesus pray? If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but thine be done. What does that mean? If there's any other way we can save humanity, how about we do that rather than me go through what I'm about to go through? Did I misinterpret that? No, it was the Father's will. It was the Master's will that was perfected. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Please read the Bible. That's what it says. If there's any other way, make this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but thine. That meant that Jesus is in God the Father's. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference there. Now, Jesus loves us. Please. Jesus, please. God and Jesus, same thing. I get all that. I believe in the Trinity. But I want you to understand the one that this guy in Matthew 25 is calling cruel and unfair. That's the person we call unfair when we decide we're going to use his stuff for our benefit. When we're like, I know what God wants, but I got better things to do. My time would be better spent here doing what I want than what God would want. See, because God is unfair. Does he not know the deadlines I'm under? Does he not know the pressure I'm under because I got this new boss who couldn't find their ears if they itched? Does he not know? I mean, I know how to handle my stuff. It ain't your stuff, dude. You know, you ever have a kid at Christmas time open the box and go, oh. Do you have to remind them this ain't your birthday? This is Jesus' birthday. Okay? You get gifts on Jesus' birthday. We're going to... Hey, this ain't your birthday, son. Okay? So when you think about it, when you look at your life, Jesus, it says in Galatians 2:20, the life that I now live, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. It's not my life. We talked about this last week, how Job said, it's not my call. It's not my call, right? It's not my life. It's his. He has a purpose for you, and that purpose is to bear fruit. You know, God's kingdom is about souls and people. Jesus said, you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. Ye have done it unto me. He takes it personal. He also says, I think it's in Luke 12, if I got my notes right. It says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. You know, I love having missionary calls. And Brother Tillman will call. They have a leper church. And the lepers have no toes and fingers and stuff. And they lose their feet. If they have right medical care, they'll live to lose their feet. And they'll crawl to church. They'll crawl to the market. Put up signs about how they can trust Jesus as their Savior. And I think to myself, is God cruel? No, not compared to how I live. I live lush. You know, it's time you and I, if we're going to live courageously for Christ, we've got to embrace our purpose. Jesus said, it is the Father's will that you bear much fruit and that fruit remain. That's what the Bible says in the Gospel of John. So embracing God's purpose begins, number one, by trusting Christ as our Savior. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will that every human being that's ever been conceived be saved, to trust Christ as their personal Savior. That is the authority of Scripture. Look it up, 2 Peter 3:9. I didn't make that up. So have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Not because you were good or because you did a catechism or you did communion or things, but because Jesus' blood was shed to pay for it. And his blood covers me. And I'm dependent upon that blood. Not on my good works, not on a prayer I prayed or a baptism I got into, but in the blood. It starts there. Number two, you're to bear fruit. If you want to live courageously, if you want your life to count for eternity, then invest in the only thing that outlives this life, and that's souls. Nothing else is going to leave this world and go to heaven with you. But who you become in Jesus and the souls that get won to Christ. So it's time to settle the issue. Who are we going to live for? Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. Listen to what it says. And that he died for all, that's Jesus, that they which live, that's you and I, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. We should live unto him which died for them and rose again. Embracing God's purpose for our life is living for God's glory. It should shape every decision we make. It should shape everything about our life. Embracing God's purpose for our life will require a change in priorities sometimes, daily schedules or relationships. But we are the stewards of God whether we wanted to be or not. Maybe that, you know, we have these apps on these phones, and it's so cool. I'm learning, I'm catching up. And you get an app, and you want to buy something, and oh my soul, you have all these check boxes of things you could check and say, I want this, but I don't want that. No anchovies, but I'll take pepperoni and mushroom. Thank you very much, and I'll take them, or whatever. And we check a box. I was out on HomeDepot.com looking for interior doors. And do I want the one that goes like this on the top? Do I want the recess? Do I want the flat? Do I want hollow core? I just want some door, man. But you know, you check the boxes you want, right? The thing is, there is no Christian app. There's no salvation app. What if there was, though? If there was a salvation app and you went through the sorting, what are they called? Sorting or what's the data word? Filters. Thank you. See, I knew you knew. So you go through the filters and I'll take the glory and I'll take the love and the joy and the peace and the long suffering, but I'm not going to do the patience, forgiveness, or the suffering. No, thank you. Make sure. Do you ever have those things in your app where you're poking the phone and it's like the button is frozen and it won't let you have that choice? What do you call it? That selection. Thank you. See, I'm learning. So, and you realize the harder you punch your phone, doesn't matter. Oh, I learned that one. See, when you got saved, the filter was already set and all the selections were pre-punched. Amen. You are a steward of God. Amen. No, you didn't get a chance to choose, even though it wasn't in the fine print. You didn't get a brochure. It's still, you're his servant. Every man, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift. This is part of the deal, being saved. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have a spiritual gift. But I want you to understand, when we go back to Matthew 25, I want to bring this all down to one point here. Look at it. It says in verse number 23, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Life is a test, and it's a trust. He's trusting us with these things. He's proving us and our faithfulness. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when you're faithfully doing your purpose, which is bearing fruit by being filled with the Spirit and being a leading of the Holy Spirit and winning souls and being faithful, at that moment there is an assignment waiting for you. We used to have a Navy SEAL in our church. You wouldn't even know it. He's like, I'm not military, so I don't know diddly about I don't know anything about the military, but he's the most kindest, gracious, calmest person you've ever seen in your life. And he said, we would train for weeks, until we could do this stuff in the dark before we went out on a mission. They were being proven and tested during the training time so that they could do their mission effectively. See, when we embrace our purpose to bear fruit for the glory of God and the kingdom expansion of God, we're proving, we're going through the daily testing and the daily proving and training. And then he's going to give you an assignment. There is something with your name on it that you're supposed to do for him. See, there's the general will of God that every Christian is supposed to do. Read, pray, tithe, witness, go to church. Those are everybody's supposed to do that. But when you're faithfully doing that, you're bearing fruit. And then God gives you an assignment. He has an assignment for you. Not everybody, listen, I'm not, and it may not be, and please don't think, well, everybody ought to be a missionary. Yes, but not like we think in the traditional sense where you just pack up and go to a foreign country or something. No, you are a missionary. Right there where God's got you. You are a resource in that part of God's vineyard. Think about Northern Virginia as God's vineyard. You are in a piece of it. And you are to maintain and grow things in your part where he put you in the kingdom. My uncle Billy was a great man. He a wonderful guy. He was a farmer. He was a sharecropper. And he had certain tools for certain jobs. And certain equipment for certain parts of the field based on sand content, clay content, things of that nature. He didn't use all of the same tractors on all the same fields except, you know what I'm saying? I understand the harvester, they'd switch heads out, and I get that. But do you understand, based on whether it would sink or not, they'd use the one with the big tires or the skinny tires or whatever. The thing is, it was to be utilized for the greatest effectiveness where Billy put it, where Billy was using it. You are in God's vineyard's the world. He owns it all. You are here in this piece of it. And you're to grow personally, and then you're to grow things for God. And while you're in this piece of the vineyard, you're to bear fruit. And in a year or two, whenever the military or the government moves you, you're going to move to another part of God's vineyard. And you're going to be expected to plant and to nurture and to harvest for his glory. Wherever God takes you, it's his vineyard. The job doesn't change. The purpose doesn't change. Location will change, but purpose doesn't change. And if you're faithfully doing God's purpose, embrace it. This is what God has a plan for me, and I am being trained in the basics so that I'm ready for my mission. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. That's how these men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 lived courageously. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, Elisha was plowing with 11 yoke of oxen. He had 12 yoke of oxen. He was out there busy planting in his part of God's vineyard when he was tasked for his great assignment. You know, Rahab the harlot was doing her own thing until she met God. And then she was faithful and God gave her an assignment and she became the ancestor to King David and to Jesus Christ because she embraced her purpose. Believe that? That's awesome. God has a purpose for you, and it's to bear fruit. God has an assignment, and it's going to be yours, and it's going to be so fulfilling. It's going to be greater than anything else you've ever done. But you'll never get it unless you're faithful. Our Father and our God, forgive us for the times where we have taken advantage of the goodness you've been to us for our own pleasure. Forgive us, God, for where we have taken your stuff and used them for our own pleasure and glory. You call that stealing, and I apologize. And Father, we recognize that you love us beyond anything we can fathom. And you've loved us before we ever knew you. And in response to that love, we love you back and say thank you. Help us today. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to each heart. And show us, Holy Spirit, where we are missing our purpose. Where we're lacking in faithfulness and diligence. Show us the spot that we might repent and confess and do right. And Father, we all have an assignment. We know this. And we ask God that as we give our lives to you afresh and anew each day, we ask God that you would show us and train us that we might be able to fulfill it for your glory. We know your Son is returning, and we look forward to that day when we'll be reunited with our loved ones again that have died and are waiting in heaven for us. But in the meantime, Father, you've told us to occupy, to trade, to do, to serve. Show us our place. Teach us, oh God, to use our gifts. And in the next few moments, God, if there's someone among us that is carrying a burden, whether health or healing, finances or relationship or struggles, I pray, God, you would give them the courage to just cast those cares upon you and to receive your grace and to trust you for the answer that's coming. Thank you for the answer that will come as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open today, brothers and sisters. Whatever your care is, whatever your need is, I'm here. I'll pray with you. Come, let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord together. If you've never trusted Christ, let today be the day you do.
Lord, be glorified, be glorified in my heart. Lord, be glorified today in my home. Lord, be glorified, be glorified in my life. Lord, be glorified today in my home. Lord, be glorified, be glorified in my home. Lord, be glorified today.
There's time for you.
In your
Won't you come?
Church, Lord,
are you fulfilling your purpose?
Be glorified. Be glorified.
Are we faithfully using God's resources for his glory, for the expansion
church,
of his kingdom?
Lord,
are we selfish?
Be glorified.
Do we think we know better? Our Father and our God, we love you. And I'm thankful, God, that you saved us with a purpose in mind, that our lives can count for eternity, that our lives are not lived in just dumb anguish like a beast, but God, our lives are something precious and special to you because they belong to you, because they were created by you. And God, may your purposes be fulfilled in us. Glorify yourself as only you can. And we'll praise you and say, thank you, God. I know that you're going to do even more than we ask or think. So thank you. And we look forward to the return of your Son. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May look this way.